Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Our Lord said to them, "Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature."
Ferreira is lost to us. He denounced God in public and surrendered the faith.
That's not possible. Father Ferreira risked his life to spread our faith all over Japan.
It seems to me that our mission here is more urgent than ever. We must go find Father Ferreira.
This is in your hearts, then, both of you?
Yes.
Then I must trust God has put it down. The moment you set foot in that country, you step into high danger.
That's the trailer for the latest Martin Scorsese movie called Silence, dealing with Roman Catholic missionaries going into 17th century Japan. The story is compelling. It's historical fiction. It's not a true story, but, well, it could be a true story without a doubt, and it deals with the big issues of both faith and apostasy. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to review the movie Silence with Pastor Ted Giese. Then Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate will join us. We're going to talk about an NBC News story about Democrats, race, and culture absent, conspicuously absent, in this treatment of the possible decline of the Democratic Party is a big subject that, well, NBC doesn't seem to know about, which is religion, moral, social issues. That's coming up a little bit later here on this Thursday afternoon. Joining us to review the movie Silence, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This is a kind of a gritty movie. Undeniable religious theme. There's no doubt about that. We'll get into that more detail a little bit later. Is this the kind of movie that a pastor might want to take the young people of his congregation to? If so, why?
Yeah, I think depends what you mean by young. So I would say that later teens, certainly university age crowd, would be the better age group for this. Obviously not very young kids. And even confirmation-age kids, they're just all trying to get their heads screwed on straight in a lot of ways. So once some of the bigger questions start rattling around in the young folks' minds, this would be a good one. But I would also caution that a pastor who's going to do this, it would be better maybe for them to go see it themselves and then take a group, because it's the kind of movie where you might want to think about it for a couple days afterwards, and it'll also have you want to maybe brush up on a couple major topics and go just for self-edification, go dig around in Pieper, the dogmatics texts and things like that, and just Book of Concord, just really think about some of the questions that come up, because it'll be good to have thought about it before you get into a major discussion with other people who are then also thinking about it.
What is the story of Silence? You say it's not a true story, but it's full of true things that actually did occur. What is it?
Yeah, it's a historical fiction, piece of historical fiction. It's written by this Japanese writer. His last name is Endo, and he lived in Japan. Like, he's a native of Japan, born there, grew up there, Roman Catholic fellow, and he wrote the book in 1966. But it's about a period of time in Japanese history where the shoguns, they just shut down Japan and didn't allow any Christians, any missionaries into the country at all. So we're looking at the 1700s. So this is a fictional story set at that time period, and the stuff in the movie is stuff that happened to people, just not specifically to the fictionalized characters that are in the film. So essentially, in a nutshell, it's about two Portuguese Jesuit priests, a Father Rodriguez and a Father Garp, and they, played by Andrew Garfield and then also by Adam Driver, and they infiltrate this Japanese island, you know, after 20 years of it being all shut down. And they're seeking out their father confessor, like, and he was a mentor of theirs, a seminary professor of theirs named Ferreira, and he's played by Liam Neeson. And they've had the rumor come to them that Ferreira has publicly apostatized his faith in Christ. So he's publicly had a renunciation of the faith and abandoned it. And they can't really believe it, and they want to find him and find out if that's true, find out if he's alive, find out what the condition of the mission is in Japan, since there's very little information coming out.
This is Martin Scorsese, so you expect landmark films. Does it live up to that kind of expectation?
I think it does. Like, Martin Scorsese, he's been making movies for over 50 years. He started making short films in 1959. This is a guy who's still at the top of his game. He comes up with films that are challenging, topics that are interesting to him. And he'll do things from Hugo, which is like a kid's movie, to stuff like Wolf of Wall Street, which, you know, lots of people are not going to enjoy watching that at all because it's just, you know, kind of vulgar in places and stuff. The Departed was a movie that's really rough around the edges. And all the way along, he's made all these movies, and they're very interesting movies. One movie he made a number of years ago was the Last Temptation of Christ, which is a very controversial film based on a very controversial novel, which has some major things in it that Christians would find very troubling. And then it was as a result of that that he was doing press-related stuff and interviews and kind of roundtable discussions with people so that people could see the film and talk about it afterwards, that he met this Episcopalian bishop, Reverend Paul Moore, who was at the Church of St. John the Divine, the cathedral in New York City, and he gave Scorsese this book, Silence. And Scorsese read it within about a year while he was in Japan, actually, and then for the next 30 years he was trying to make this film. So he's thought about it a lot. Him and the co-writer, Jay Cox, has thought about the content a lot and how to get it onto the screen. So it's a very carefully made film, and it's got beautiful parts in it, but it's also very challenging and gritty in places.
You could say it's an investigation of the genuineness of the Christian faith and the genuineness of apostasy. What do you mean by that?
Well, this is the big question all the way through the movie. You have all of these characters who are in high danger. Like, Japan is a dangerous place to be a Christian at that time. And the, you know, is their faith genuine? And if they apostatize, if they buckle to the pressure of having a renunciation of the faith, what is the nature of weakness in that? Where do you expect your strength to actually come from? Is that an internal thing? Is that the providence of God? So it gets into gigantic questions about that. When you're watching it, like, all the way through, they have these little bits and pieces. There's so much to dig into that you can't even, like, this is a really long review that I wrote, and I can't even get into all of it. But, you know, the Stations of the Cross, kind of like, there's a way that they kind of fit into the whole thing. And you start to think about people like Judas. You think about people like St. Peter. And you think about their betrayal, their denial of Christ. And you think about, you know, how does that all apply then and fit to these characters that you're seeing on the screen? You know, and what's the relationship between these characters? There's a lot to dig into. And St. Peter, I think, is an interesting character in connection to this film and the book that it's based on, in connection with the characters that you see on the screen.
The answers that it gives, you say, are distinctly Roman Catholic in their perspective. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, this is a book written by a Roman Catholic, made by Martin Scorsese, who is a Roman Catholic. And in fact, when he was a kid, he had done some preparatory work to enter into the seminary to be a Roman Catholic priest. but then ended up going a different way and making movies. And it's based on Jesuits, you know, which is a Roman Catholic order, monastic order. So it's going to approach it in a Roman Catholic way. But interestingly, like the way the film ends might not perfectly reflect that Roman Catholic ideal. And I guess this kind of gets into how does faith work? And there's two terms that you can use in a conversation about this, theological terms, and one is synergism and the other is monergism. So synergism is, within the Roman Catholic theology, it's kind of a belief that the interaction or cooperation, there can be an interaction or a cooperation that occurs between an individual and God, and that would produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects, right? So faith is not is something that you're participating in at all stages along the way. Monergism is a different kind of a perspective, and this is the Lutheran one. Divine monergism is the idea that even if you're facing like harsh persecution and temptation, you can rely on what Scripture teaches about the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of Christ for the Christian, which gives faith, keeps you in the faith, gets you to the end, and that it's all God, not your working, that gets you through things like extraordinary persecution.
Pastor Ted Gacy is our guest. We're talking about the movie Silence. When we come back, synergism or monergism? Does the movie Silence answer the question? We'll be right back.
Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christians young and old are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldviewsa.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Gacy is our guest, reviewing the movie Silence. Ted, before the break, you were talking about the two viewpoints that are kind of contrasted in Silence, both synergism, which is man's cooperation with God, or monergism, God acting alone to save a man. Does the movie actually answer that question or resolve that tension there, synergism or monergism, without giving away too much of the ending?
I think this is where the individual person's confession of faith when they go to the film has a big impact. You take your confession of faith with you. So there will be Roman Catholics who will go to the film, and they would probably sit there at the end and think, I guess it's synergism. And then there will be Lutherans that will go to the film and sit there and go, well, that looks like it could be monergism. It's a left to be an open question in a way. And it right up to the very last frame of the film. Like, they hold that through all the way to the very, very, very end of the whole entire thing. And really, that's like the period at the end of the sentence, or the punctuation point at the end of the sentence. So that makes it kind of a compelling film in that way. I think that if people are disinterested in exploring the interior contours of their conscience and their faith, they're going to find this movie as boring as all get out. But if they have thought about theological things in their lives or have struggled through very difficult times, then this is going to be of great interest. I'm thinking of the other day on Issues Etc., you guys had an interview with the Bishop of Siberia for the Lutheran Church there, and just talking about the struggles that Christians had under the communist regime and the Soviets, and there are bits and pieces of that very same kind of thing showing up all over the place in this movie.
You say, when you review most movies, it's panning for gold, where you've got a lot of sand and gravel and occasionally a tiny fleck of gold to pick out there, at kind of doing the pastoral perspective. This one is the other way around for you. Why is that?
Well, there's just so much to talk about. Like, even in the review, I couldn't even get around to some other ideas that show up in the film. Another idea that comes across loud and clear is something, syncretism is basically the thing. So in mission work, particularly historically connected to the Jesuits, syncretism is this thing that kind of comes up. And there's this really interesting passage where there's a conversation about syncretism. And again, it's just, there's so many great things to grab hold of and talk about connected to the film. So syncretism is the idea that when you are doing mission work, the people often, like always, have some sort of faith that already pre-existed your arrival. And by, you know, putting it in the most generous terms, if there's some sort of mix-up along the way in translating scripture or in preaching and describing it, if there's a language barrier or something that can cause a misunderstanding, then that can latch on to the faith as it goes through history. And you get things like voodoo getting mixed up in Roman Catholicism in the Caribbean and Central and South America. And, you know, in the case of this, it's like some Buddhist and Shinto kind of ideas. And the thing that gets described is this. It talks about trying to explain when St. Francis Xavier went to Japan, trying to explain Jesus to the Japanese people. And the idea is that he's described as the sun. And the word for sun is the same as the one for the sun in the sky. And, of course, Jesus dies and is risen from the dead 3 days later. But in Japan, the sun rises every day. So there's a screw-up along the way. And the one character says to the other character, these Christians here, they're not even believing the same religion that we're believing, because their idea of who Jesus is all mixed up. Their Christology is mixed up. So that is the opinion of one character talking to another character, and just all of the other kind of things that wrap up and get connected to that. So there's just a wealth of things to think about and talk about connected to the film and the book, too, which is a very interesting book.
I wanted to conclude this talking about how, while this is a story that is from a very different place, and from a somewhat different time, it is, at least in terms of worldwide Christianity, in its theme of persecution and even apostasy, or remaining faith, martyrdom, we should say, very, very timely. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I was just coming across something the other day, and I mentioned it in the review. Jean Edward Veith had mentioned that, you know, in the last couple of years, there's been 195,000 Christians who've been martyred in the world right now. So that's a lot. That's a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ who have met their end here in this life through martyrdom. Now, alongside those would be all sorts of people who have apostatized the faith. And the question that comes up is, so this is something that we deal with in our world, maybe not right in our neighborhood in North America, but with our brothers and sisters in Christ in places like Syria and places where ISIS is in control of things, and then not even that far in our distant past, like I mentioned before, in Russia under the Soviets during communist regime time there, and in different places. North Korea is another place where it's very difficult to be a Christian, and that's a closed community in a similar sort of way to Japan was being closed. So the film touches on this, and there's a character, Kikujiro, who is a Japanese guy, and he apostatizes over and over and over again. And the question is, does he still have faith in Christ? Is he still seeking forgiveness? And there's all of these spots where it seems like he still wants to have confession and absolution, where he receives forgiveness from Christ. But he says, I'm weak. If I was born in a different time when it was easier, I wouldn't have the problems I have. So as Christians under extraordinary pressure in different places around the world, they, when everything is stripped away from them, what do they have to rely on? And if it's self-reliance in the faith, then there's nothing but despair at the heart of that. If it is Christ who is there for them, if it's God is faithful and God will pull me through, even if I face death, then that is the greatest thing of all. And this is stuff that this movie deals with, and I think it's pretty interesting.
It's reported by some Catholic press that Andrew Garfield, who plays one of the leads in this movie, during his preparation for the part, went through Ignatius Loyola's disciplines, Jesuit disciplines, in order to prepare to play that part. And in the course of that, in his words, fell in love with Jesus and, according to the Catholic press, became a Christian. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's fascinating. I did see a little interview with him being interviewed, I think Seth Meyers or something, and he was talking about doing those exercises, the Jesuit exercises. And I think that he's had a kind of an interesting time just recently, because he was also in the movie Hacksaw Ridge with Mel Gibson, where directing it, where he played a Christian guy in that, you know, most violent of movies about pacifism. And both of them are very, like, strong in terms of, you know, a focus on Christ, I guess. This one more so, perhaps, even. So I don't think you can grapple with something like this and not come away having asked and maybe even come to some conclusions. So I sincerely hope that that is the case and that that faith holds there for Andrew Garfield.
Folks, if you plan on seeing Silence, be sure to read Pastor Ted Giese's review before you go. You'll find it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.
Terry Mattingly is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about an NBC News story about Democrats, race, and culture. Stay tuned.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in his word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, with us in the classrooms of our school and child care, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at emmanuelhamilton.com.